Yes. Okay, from South Africa, Florence Chidinma, everywhere Igbo people there. Shalom, church. Please, I want to know if this experience was the Holy Ghost baptism in 2011. I was very sick unto a point of death. The hospital rejected me because they could not find the cause of the sickness. But I never stopped praying. Then one fateful night, as weak as I was, I started praying in a different language. And I could understand it very well. That is when I started speaking in tongues till today. And I have understanding of what I am saying. Is that the Holy Ghost? But also in my end time church here in South Africa, there is no speaking in tongues. But when I get serious in prayers at church, I realize myself speaking in tongues. But I will quickly stop praying so as not to embarrass myself. What do I do, sir? Thank you. God bless you all. Sister, so many people have your kind of problem. You received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and God gave you a gift of speaking in tongues. Whether in private or in the church, you get into the spirit, the atmosphere is right. Every gift manifests during worship. Every gift manifests during worship. As we start like this now, if I give this microphone to any of these prophets to come and prophesy now, they will sweat. They will go, they do like this. They try to enter spirit. You go see, they walk up, reach one end. They come back. They will be struggling to connect. But if we worship first, amen, then once you give him microphone, you will hear him as the praises was going on. Because every gift is activated, including those of us who even operate the power gifts. Some of you come to me for prayer this evening, and I told you I'll pray for you at the altar. All I'm trying to say is, let me be in the spirit first. Because when we worship, every gift is activated. Amen. Every gift is activated. So, sister, unfortunately for you, when you are in your church, they don't believe in it. Amen. You are worshiping, but you are not allowing the free flow of the Spirit. And they claim to be end-time church. Who are they following? The minister William Branham demonstrated the power, demonstrated the gift. And William Branham spoke in several places that every true church must have those 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 operating. He said, if that gift is not there, he said, something is wrong with that setting. So, sister, in your church, something is wrong. God bless you. Don't let them kill that gift. If you cannot speak in the church, when you reach home, lock your door. Sing well, and until you call, enjoy yourself in the spirit. For it builds you up. The best gift to build your spirit up is the gift of speaking in tongues. It's a special gift. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom.
God bless you.
Shalom, sir. My question is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, which says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And the verse 3 says, know you not that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So my question is, the heir of that tube that say, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? So I want you to throw more light on it.
Yes, in the millennium, we shall sit with Christ in his kingdom and become judges, leaders on earth here. That is what that scripture is assuring us.
Okay, sir. And then the one that say, know you not that we shall judge angels?
Yes, because what do you call it? The angels that, remember that all authority, the Bible says the Father judges no man, but all judgment is committed to the Son. There are angels that are kept in chains now. The book of Jude tells us they have been in chains since, until the white throne judgment, when all Satan and all the angels, they are talking about those fallen angels, all of them will be gathered in Revelation chapter 20, where we see the white throne judgment will be put down. Who is it that will do that judgment, the white throne judgment? Is Christ.
Jesus.
And wherever Christ is, the first lady is there. The King of Kings, the bride is
there. The bride. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen.
Yes, sister.
Shalom, church.
Sorry, Chinanye from Italy. I have never fasted for long before, as far as I can remember, but I could not believe that I fasted for 21 days. I fell under anointing during the June program, which I've never felt before. I also want to know, most times if I'm singing spiritual songs and praises, I feel goose pimples from my head down to my toes, all over my body. Is it also part of the Holy Spirit manifestations? Yes, Sister Chinna here. It is a manifestation of the Spirit that is in you. Once the atmosphere is right, that spirit in you, that gift in you, manifests. And it is a sign. It becomes a sign for you that he's around. The fellowship wants to start. When you begin to feel that goose pimple, it becomes a sign for you to know that the gift that he has given you will soon activate. So when you feel that sign, you just yield yourself. If it's vision you see, the vision will soon break forth. You speak in tongue, the tongue will soon break forth. That is what it is. So, all the way in Italy, she was connecting through the broadcast online, and the power of God touched her too. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. And so many other people all around the world that connected. The time has come. For the bride of Christ, wherever they are, distance is no longer a barrier. That's why I will continue to pray for all those who have been sponsoring the bride television. I'll continue to pray for all of you. You can see the effect through your offerings. We are broadcasting to the whole world, and you are seeing the effect. God bless you all. Yes, sister.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
I want to thank God for directing me to this place. Because since I came here, everything about me is just changing.
Clap your hands, church. Yes. That is a testimony.
I've been going to an entire message church, but I've never fasted for 21 days. That is impossible. But I did this one. I just isolated myself. I left my business, everything, for just this June camp. And it was wonderful.
Wonderful.
I did not want to come out when a pastor was saying, what experience do you have? Because somebody touched me. I don't know the man that touched me, and I fell. But I wanted to know who he was before I, maybe he pushed me or something. I wanted to be certain before I come out to know, to say it. But I don't know him. I told my cousin to show me who the man is, but she didn't show me. I said, until I know him, then I'll know whether it's his size that pushed me or something. But that was my experience. And ever since then, reading the Bible makes more sense to me.
Hallelujah.
I see myself.
Hallelujah.
In this scenario. If I'm reading the Bible, it's now making sense. But there's a place that is actually giving me issues, which is Judas' path. I've heard you on air. You said Judas went to heaven, and you've also said it here. But I'm still doubting it because of some verses in the Bible that Jesus called him a devil, Jesus cursed him, and Jesus prayed for Peter, but he didn't pray for Peter.
I didn't say Judas went to heaven. There's nobody that is in heaven now.
Or he's saved or something.
Nobody is in heaven now. There is a place where we are all waiting called paradise. And there is the place of torment. And what I'm saying is concerning the position of the office of Judas. Listen, the story of the mystery of surrounding who Judas is deep. Very, very deep. I use the story of, the person of Judas to explain mercy. I use it to explain mercy. Mercy, the mercy of God. And take note that God decided to choose Israel. Though Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 or so, he said, not all Israel are of Israel. Not all Israel are of Israel. But when you are sure somebody is truly an Israelite that comes under the covenant that God had with Abraham, that moved to Isaac, that moved to Jacob, that continued to David, and moved on concerning Israel, in Romans chapter 11, Paul says, all Israel shall be saved. Why? Verse 29, he said, for the gift and calling of God is without repentance. So when you want to deal with the salvation of Israel, you don't use the same parameters as the church. They are under a covenant, and wherever they are, they belong to him, God. And he deals with them. And death in Israel is part of punishment. So when we are treating the matter of Israel, don't just generalize them the way you do for Christians. Thank you. Yes. Okay, from USA, Sister Liz. Liz is from USA. Last year, I was baptized in the name of Jesus, but I was not submerged entirely. That is, you were. My body entered the water, but my face did not go under water. Do I need to rebaptize? You were not baptized at all. Go and rebaptize. And let it be in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Sister Peace that just spoke now. You know, when you were speaking, my heart was gladdened because that is the first testimony of a Christian. The first testimony of a Christian is that you can stay and know that something has happened to me and I know I am not what I used to be. Oh, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. I am heir of salvation. I am purchased of God. God of the Spirit. I watch the Lord. Hallelujah. This is my story.
That's my testimony. My testimony.
Angel descending, from above. It was not mercy that we shall have.
Hallelujah. That's my testimony.
This is my Savior. Honor the Lord. This is my story. This is my song. This is my
Savior. Hallelujah. The testimony of a Christian. When you have that type of assurance, nothing moves you on this earth. Nothing. Hallelujah. There's a joy you have. Nothing moves you. That's why that songwriter says, faith each earthly joy.
Jesus is everything that's life. Everything that's life.
Oh, yes.
Jesus is the King of the land. He is the winner.
Oh, and I'm so ready. Let's sing that song. Let's sing it. Tempt not. Oh, tempt not my soul away.
Jesus, where will I ever stay? Jesus, perishing things of this.
Perishing things of this.
Farewell mortality. Jesus is mine. Well, for eternity. Jesus is welcome over the land. Welcome since in the bread.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are on a plane.
We the Father fell at Pentecost, which leaves them dead and clean.
It is burning now within my heart.
All glory to Him.
How many of them are here? How many of them?
I'm so glad and I can say.
How many of us? How many of us?
One of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad and I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
One of them.
I am one of them.
Hallelujah. Sit down first. Praise the Lord. A testimony of a believer. Amen. You need this anchor. We are facing perilous times. Difficult times. The only thing that can keep you sane now is to be in Christ. In Christ. Hold to Him. That songwriter says, hold to God's unchanging hands. Hold to God's unchanging hands. He said, build your hopes on things eternal. Build your hopes on things eternal. build your hope not here but on things eternal. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold onto his unchanging hands. Your uncle will fail you. Your country economy may fail you, but he never fails. Hallelujah. And maybe you are thinking that all is gone, all is not gone. There is an all-seeing eye that is watching his people. Amen. He's dependable. He's reliable. Just hold on to him. And all this shake-shake going on, very soon, it will seem like nothing. Always remember, whatever we go through on earth here is temporary. So, until then, my heart will go on singing. Oh,
until then,
we'll join our career.
Until then,
my heart will go on
singing.
Oh,
until then.
When I pause to remember, a heartache here is but
a stepping stone.
It's a stepping stone along the trail. That's why it always upward. Oh, this trouble world is not my final hope. Until then,
I have to go on singing.
Until then, with joy I'll carry on.
Until then, my eyes be all I see.
Oh,
until then, of course,
this weary world, this weary world, this weary world. This weary war, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife.
Oh, yes. The
soul of man is like a waiting
platform.
Oh, when it's ready, it's destined for us.
For us, you know.
Sorry, I forget. Say when I see the stand here. I'm sorry. Sit down first. I don't go without you. I don't forget. Yes. It's true. Because, look, the target of the enemy is Christians. He has gotten all the rest. Can't you see evil is increasing? They only send people on earth are believers. Even in the church, evil is present in the church. Many are called. Few are chosen. You must understand this. Hallelujah. You must understand this. If not, that's why this journey from earth to glory is first and foremost an individual journey. Don't compare yourself with anybody. Don't compare your church with another church. Don't compare yourself with anybody. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, look, load your spirit man, your mind with this word. That's where our victory is. The church shall live by faith. And faith cometh by hearing what? God's.
Thank you, sir, for giving me an opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, please, my question goes like this, sir. If a brother A is a Christian, and brother B is a Christian also, now brother A is not doing the real as the brother B is doing as a Christian is also. Now brother B is now be able to, you know, be judging some, seeing some things, errors that the brother A is that you see some errors in the life of brother A. And I begin to tell him that so things you did is not good, begin to, you know, interrupt with him. Now, sir, do we call that judgment? Is it judgment, sir? Do we call that judgment?
The brother, when you use the word judgment, the Bible itself told us that judgment begins from where? You answer me this question. Listen. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, I think it was the husband that started first. They all agreed to bring an offering. Sell whatever you have and bring everything together so that the needy ones can share it. Everybody brought it. So everybody, a brother even sold his house, sold everything and brought everything. Everybody was declaring his own. And then this husband and wife, they went and sold their property, but they just brought only a part of it, and they were given a lying testimony. And immediately, the Holy Ghost struck the man. Was that judgment?
Sir, for me, I will not say that it's judgment. I won't say that it's judgment.
Okay. Now, they carried the dead body, go. The wife, no, no, she was still dressing up and packing the remaining money where we're for drawer. The man left her and came. So she now came. She didn't know what was going on. She came. Peter then called her. Aya, come, declare your own. And she repeated the same lie they agreed with the husband. And then Peter turned and looked at her. Why do you set in your heart to lie before the Holy Ghost? Well, she was still alive. As they pack your husband, go. And so they go pack you, go now. Ta-da! He died. Was that judgment?
It is. Better.
Was that judgment?
It is. It is.
Therefore, judgment begins from the house of
God.
Thank you.
Salam es Marisa. Verse, the reason why I say so is because in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, judge not, that ye should not be judged. But for my own understanding, I take it that it's not judgment, but that is punishment.
What is judgment? What is punishment?
Because the reason why is because we leave judgment for God. That's why I'm understanding that. That's why I asked you the question, to know whether we call that judgment or we take it as punishment we give.
What is the difference between judgment and punishment? What is the difference between judgment and punishment?
Judgment is if someone offends, then you begin to tell the person what he is, what is this, what is this. But the only thing is that we leave judgment for God. But in the eyes of us as like Christian, we take it as a punishment we give our own self.
I'm sorry, I don't understand you.
No, sir, let me clear myself. Let me clear myself.
What if I understand you, what you are saying is that we should stop judging anybody. Leave that person to God. When you see somebody is stealing, don't tell the person, why are you stealing? Stop stealing. You know that people who steal will go to hell. Why do you see? Say, don't talk like that. You the thief, say, now you and God, though, and they go. Correct?
Yes, sir.
That's how it is. If you pastor a church, in fact, your time, God can never use you to preach the gospel. Because every preacher is a judge. Thank you very much.
God bless.
The last person, please.
Shalom, sir.
Okay, let's see somebody from Germany, Brother Chidi from Germany. Shalom, church. So I was talking with my sister from Timberlife. She said, on no account should a Christian man divorce his wife. She insists that what was said in the Bible was fornication, if in courtship, not adultery for married. I would love to hear your view on this, sir, and may God continue to increase you in assembling the bride worldwide, including you in Germany. Listen, I have had that same interpretation. Matthew chapter 19, where he says that you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. You cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. Now you are saying that, I want you to understand, that is why the best way to understand, you know, the things of God, the scripture, you must understand scripture. The types and shadows give you perfect picture. Now listen, what is fornication? Fornication is depend on the usage. It's sex between two people that are not married. What is adultery? Adultery is sex between, by a man or a woman that is married. Listen carefully. Therefore, when you say fornication, you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. Listen, Apostle James chapter 4, where he called some people, he said, you adulterers and adulteresses. He said, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Therefore, he is saying that you are married to Jesus. And if you go to yoke yourself with the world system, the fashions of this world, God sees you as an adulterer. Now, fornication is an unlawful sex the usage of that word there, the usage of that word there is talking about, remember, it's talking about a husband and a wife. That if he's telling you that I have caught my wife in fornication, it means he is not talking, remember, she's already his wife. He's not talking about what she did before he married her. If not, no Christian will be married to Jesus. Because we are all fornicators before we got married to him. So it means now that he knows us. He knows the kind of life we lived before. Now, it means he'll be expected to put us away because of our past lives. You cannot put away your wife because of her past life. The fact that you now as a believer, you marry your wife and you did not meet her a virgin, it simply means she has met with a man before. So when are you going to discover that she committed fornication? Now, so they use academic interpretation of the things of the spirit. It is wrong. The fornication there, if you catch your wife, you know, in any form of sexual sin, whether it's adultery, whatever they call it, it means the same thing, sexual sin. She goes to meet with any man. She has fornicated with that man. Listen. Listen. Fornication. Amen. Listen to my English. It is fornication that results in adultery. I don't know whether anybody will understand this, my English. Adultery is from the word adulteration. You are supposed to stay pure. You have adulterated yourself by the act of fornication. So stop all this big grammar. You have adulterated the vow I exchanged with you as my wife by going to commit fornication. Therefore, I put you away. Thank you. The last person.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Sir, please, I want to ask this. It's concerning my life. Most of the times, let me just use our past program. Falling, in anointing always. And
okay, now you.
So, most of the times,
because of you, some coordinator don't stand around here again. Yes.
So, sir, even at times, if the power came to bring me down, I would try to sit down on the chair. But that same power will lift me up and bring me back to this altar. For this last Saturday program, when I fell down, then after I'm through with the Holy Ghost, I went back to my seat. And one brother behind me there called me. And he told me that, brother, that see what is holding you. That is your business. That your business is the thing, the major thing that is holding your ministry. And I asked him, if it's my business, should I leave my business and focus to work of God? And many people have told me the same thing. And there is God do talk to me. Mostly, if you want to speak to me, he will talk to me through the scripture. He will give me a scripture verse. And the first time he talked to me was, this is your fervent scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. That is the first scripture God gave to me. And that scripture changed me today. It's not sure that made me what I am today. And often and on. But there's a scripture concerning myself. Proverbs 13 verse 18. God gave me the scripture. And since that day, I was thinking the reason of giving me the scripture. He said, poverty and shame shall be to him that refused instruction. But he that regarded a proof shall be honored. So I want to know, sir, if it's true that my business is truly holding me.
Number one, who can resist God?
Nobody, sir.
Listen, church. There are people that give revelations that create more problem and cause more confusion in the life of believers. Stop those revelations. Stop it. God is not afraid of any human being. If God wants to use you, He will speak to you. He will speak to you. And if He wants to use actions to speak to you, and it is your business that is trying to stand between Him and you, He will close your business. Amen. There are some people that know be God, they close their business. Now, foundational course. Some that demon covenant that say you don't prosper. Then somebody will say it's call. Okay, if it is call, I have answered. I am now. Let the business. Let me have peace now. It's nothing like that. Brother, listen, and all of you too. Because you are not the only one. There are many more. And if you observe, it is always more sisters that have that problem. And it is very obvious, because for God to arrest the attention totally of a young girl, a young woman in this age. Then you will hardly see a young girl in this age that total, where you lead me, I will follow. Very, very few. Everyone, one eye is on Jesus, one eye is on a condition. I will serve you now, I will earn now, Father, I will serve you, but, make a job marry first. But make I just get small money, make I finish this school first. Always with condition. I know now, totally just to, my hair is like iron. You say I should not, hey, what has he got to do now? They argue with their maker. I told you last year or so, 2 years ago, that the Lord spoke to me, because I used to be worried. When I will never forget the day the Lord made that thing clear to me. And my wife can remember, we were sitting down in the sitting room like that, talking something else. When He seized everything and spoke to me, and I jumped up, I told my wife, I said, I've just found answer to something I've been looking for. Why do people fall down every time you see them struggling? And watch every one of them that fall down under anointing, fighting like that. Sometimes you will chain them. When you release them, you see them running as if they won't run out of prison yet. Watch every one of them. They have one comma or the other in their character. have taken time. And I'm saying, if this is the Holy Ghost, every time Holy Ghost, and remember, falling down under anointing is not a gift. It's a battle. Amen. It's a dealing of God on that person. It is not, there is no gift of falling down under anointing. So, the Lord told me, took me to I had it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, each time you see them battling, that I say it is him battling, knocking. I want to come in, they are saying no. I want to come in, they are saying no. He said, that is what happens to some of them. The day you say, okay, have your way, Lord, you won't see that happen again. The day you say, have your way, Lord, okay, what will you have me to do? And it's not sitting down in the church here. It is after you don't fall down, don't pull your body. When you reach house, finish. Okay, Father. Oh, yeah. What do you want me to do? Oh, yeah. Tell me now. I agree now. I vow. See, I have the whole Bible for hand. Don't let me fall again. What do you want me to do? He will speak to you. I am telling you that is the truth. And you know what? The fact that he is so interested in you, it is because your name is in the book of life. He doesn't care with those who are not his own. He's interested in you. There are so many people that are wanting. If the man, no one come to me now. If the sister, no one come to me now. I won't fall. Me, I won't fall. Come to me. But not them. Secondly, it's because he has a particular purpose for you. So what you do is simple. There's a young girl in this church that used to have that problem. After every service, when she goes home, wound everywhere. Then she will come. I go to church, see wound here. I don't know why my own is like this. I don't know which type of thing is this. I don't even know whether this is Holy Ghost stuff. This is the Holy Ghost gonna see wound everywhere. She was complaining. Amen. Until one day she did what I'm telling you now. Okay, Lord, okay, stop it now. Okay, what do you want me to do? If you stop throwing me down and injuring me like this, anything you tell me to do, I will do it. From that day, the thing stopped. So you are talking about a God that is sovereign. You can't question him. He knows why he decides to choose who he to choose. You know. So our own is to put up an attitude of where he leads me, I will follow. I surrender totally. Just surrender. Surrender. That's all. Surrender. I am the clay. Thou art the potter. Have thy way, O Lord. Have thy way. Mold me and shape me after thy will. Mold me, shape me. Anything you ask me to do, here am I. If the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Use me. When you have that type of mind, not for motto, it's in you. Amen. You won't have problem. Your Christian life will be sweet. The angel will become more gentle with you. Hallelujah. God bless you. What's the last one? Come, we want to praise God. Time okay, to go. What's in again?
Sir. In the same issue.
Somebody's from Cameroon. Leonard Ndi. Shalom Church. He's been a musician, a ministry in the body of Christ. And secondly, what is the sprinkling with clean water that God was talking about in Ezekiel 36, from 26 to 28. Singing is a talent. It's a gift. It's a serious gift. That was what Satan was made of. So it's a serious ministry. It's a worship gift. It's a gift for worship. David had that same gift until he would sink and the demon that was tormenting Saul would disappear by singing. And that gave us all those, most of those psalms that we see in the book of Psalms. So yes, it's a talent. And the evidence of talent is that it's not everyone that can sing. Give some people microphone, even some pastors, even for this church. They go sing like this, they go right, another one they go left, the musician go, they suffer. Say, what thing they happen now? And there are some just sitting like this, songs will be coming up, they'll be writing it down. It's a talent, it's a gift. Okay. I think, okay, what's it? The clean water. Clean water there is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, remember it speaks about the washing of the water by the word. So, he's speaking about how he uses the word to clean up. Remember, our sanctification process is by the word of God. So, he calls you, the first thing he does, he uses clean water there of the word. And clean you up with the word. And then, he takes a hold of the stony heart, according to that scripture in Ezekiel 36. So the water there is the water of the word of God. That's what he's talking about. Yes.
Okay, sir.
Sir? Another one from Spain. Isosa. Isosa from Spain. Shalom, sir. Please kindly explain who was King Lemuel in the Bible, Proverbs 31, verse 1. Because some said he was King Solomon. Some said he was King Hezekiah. And I'm really confused about it. God bless you, sir. All I know is that he is King Lemuel. Is King Lemuel. Whoever else it is, I don't know. I know that he is King Lemuel. If there's anything different, the day I know it, I will tell you. But for now, I know him to be King Lemuel. Okay.
Okay.
Please. Okay.
So.
Final one, sir. If not, that angel will come, collect that microphone for your hand, and anything will happen. Now you call him.
Sir, it's the same area I'm going, but I have a revelation one day. Where God showed me where I'm going out from, you know, to start my ministry. That's to what? Start working on my ministry. But in that revelation.
Which ministry?
No, just to come fully to serve God.
In which area?
I'm coming. So.
Go on, I'm hearing.
Okay. So, as I know, that thing was happening. So in my that direction, I was crying that my boy that is in my shop could not be able to handle my shop. So as I was, you know, crying, and one voice told me that I should lay my hand on that my boy and pray for him. So I did in that revelation. But in this very program now, I decided, sir, I have a lot of experiences. Even in my dreams, even there was a time God showed me this, our prophet, William Mon Abraham. God showed me a scream. He showed me that the prophet and all the miracles and everything he did. So, when I did that, so in this very program now, I decided that after this program, I'll focus very well, you know. But in this very brief period, and while I was on fasting, my boy did something. You know, I grew angry and I slapped him. So that thing now caused a very big problem. The guy started complaining, serious eye problem. So I now took him to eye clinic. Okay, I sent him because he's a grown up guy, he's about 22 years. He was there. The doctor called me that very day that, okay, that your brother is almost blind, though. That there's nothing he can do. It's only to do that, to do surgery in that eyes. I said, I said, no problem. I now took him to General Hospital. In that general, the day he was going there, I sent him with my brother, one of my sister. When he went there, the doctor looked and said, what is this? He now kept him that you wait for him. I want to know exactly what is the cause of that eyes. After everybody have left the hospital, according to them, they said even all the whole nurses, everybody that's working with that doctor, go back. And that doctor was insist to know what is the cause of that eyes. And the man look, use everything to test that eyes. The man said he could not see anything. He was asking the guy, is there anybody in his family that got blind? He said, no. He said, okay. He said, beating. That beating cannot cause this. The tip below, he said, no. He said, what is this? So he now sent, right, so he now wrote something that you should go and do one either scan in the eyes. And Kushi went today. And the thing affected the two eyes. He said, one of the eyes is 10,000, that's 20,000. He went starting today.
So what's your question?
So my question now is that, is it because I make a decision?
To do what?
Is it because I made a decision that I want to come fully this time?
That's why you're blinding the boy.
No, when I was, after that, I was praying. So in my revelation, God showed me, revealed to me by one prophet. And the prophet was speaking to me, giving me a message in that revelation. So in that revelation, he asked me that, there's one of your brother that is having eyes problem. I said, yes, sir. I said that, sir, that is the only problem that I have. And I was like crying. He said that I should stop crying. That eyes, that they are manipulating that eyes, that I should bring him. That is the manipulation, I should bring him. So to bring him, I know it is not that prophet that God just revealed the cause of that. But me, I know that thing is not ordinary. They just use...
Can I tell you something, sir?
Okay, sir.
Now I am beginning to know why you are always falling under anointing.
Okay, sir.
You have a spirit of anger.
It's true, sir.
And God has to deal with that. You have not yet accepted it and presented it before the Lord to deal with it. And God allow it to go to that extent so that you will face that aspect of your life. Because that will also be a hindrance to any ministry you will have. Anger. You know what? Will you come and testify? If you kneel down here now and tell the Lord to forgive you and take away that anger from you and go this morning and lay your hand on that eye will be restored. Do that. Lay your hand on that eye and that's all. It is between you and God. No manipulation anywhere. It's you and God. Praise the Lord. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Clap your hands for Jesus. Who again? Brother Romeo from Ghana. Shalom, church. God bless you, Daddy. We met last April in Aflao, Ghana. Please, Daddy, I am confused about something. I need your help. About 2 weeks ago, I had a revelation where I was taking 2 children to their parents and a lion from nowhere attacked us. I fought with the lion and finally overpowered it. I prayed about it. Anyway, but not as serious as I should be. On Tuesday, my stepsister lost her daughter, which we just buried yesterday. Please, Daddy, I am guilty now because I feel I contributed to her death since I couldn't pray to counsel it. Please, Daddy, will God reveal anything to me again since I couldn't do anything about this little girl's death? I want God to forgive me, please. Yes, the reason why God took that girl away the way he has done it is for you to take your revelation seriously. So next time when you see that revelation, such revelation, you take it seriously and pray until you pray through. Yes, God will still show you things. God bless you. Sir, stand up. Stand up, brother. What's your name? What's your name? How long have you been in this ministry?
Yes. It's over 7 years.
You've been in this job for 7 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Give him the microphone. Father, have mercy upon your son. The Lord will have mercy upon you. And that spirit of anger departs from you from today in the name of Jesus Christ. Permanently. That spirit goes totally, permanently, by the power that delivers. Clap your hands for Jesus. Stand up and use your hand and worship the Lord.